All right, let's keep it there for now because we got a lot going on today. And I appreciate all the testimony. Those are just people doing practical things that we kind of suggested. Some of them are doing it already before we even talked about it. But it just shows you that what we're asking is a practical approach. It's something that can be done. Now, as practical as it seems, you might say, well, that's not my preferred way of doing it. And you know what? You're absolutely okay with that. Okay? That's absolutely okay with that because this is not Bible. This is not you have to carry a gospel tract and you have to drop it off here. Okay? It doesn't say that in the scripture. It just tells us that we need to be a light to the world. Somehow, they're going to have to know that we know Jesus and that Jesus can save them from their lost condition. But this is just ways we do it. And actually, the gospel tract's a practical way that we decided. We make a catchy phrase or a catchy thought, and we just put it in there and put the scriptures in there, okay? And in America, there's a lot of preferences and a lot of, I'm learning, and that people have different tastes and different style and different way of doing things. Now, be careful. Some of the methodology has to go with the scripture because the Bible talks about God's ways, all right? The word ways is methodology, the way you do it. There's some that are in the parameter of wrong. But there's some that are not. Okay, God's going to leave you to have liberty and freedom to do that. Okay, because we're individual people. Just like the situation with Miss Tablanda and Brother Calvin is because they had a situation where they were teaching in a Bible club. So that brought to the point to them that they had that. Now, if you didn't go on a picnic and decide to reach people, are you sinning? No. It's just the way that they were able to do that. Now, find a way for you that you can able to do that yourself. All right? I think Pastor Seth talks to me when he goes around and does donations. He gives people help. He tries to get the gospel in there. Others have talked to me about their workplaces, how they try to engage their coworkers. And so many different ways, but approach the people and let them know about the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? So just in review, we had a couple of different things. Write 5 names, people, that you would like to get saved sometime in your lifetime or after you live, but just people you want to get saved. Remember that? Write out your testimony and rehearse it. Keep it in a paragraph form. And this is all practical, okay? You can change all of this. I'm just giving you a practical approach, all right? Leave a track in a place like a dental office or a medical office and see if someone takes it, observe it. If you go back there for a revisit or an appointment that you have to go back, do something like that. Then we talked about most of us probably know John 3:16, but that's a good verse to really get down and memorize. It's a quick verse you can say, and a lot of the gospel, the meat of the principle of the gospel is there, okay? It talks about God, it talks about perishing, it talks about eternal life, it talks about Jesus is the only one that can give it to us. And so you can get a lot with John 3:16, okay? So if you haven't memorized that, I want to challenge you. Let's all memorize it. Every one of us should know John 3:16, if at all possible. Let's memorize that. So it's another one we're talking about. And then last week, we gave you a practical approach to remembering to be prepared to have a gospel tract with you at all times. It says, statistically, 21 days, if you do something consecutively in 21 days, it becomes a habit. Okay, and we talked about grabbing 21 gospel tracts. And every day, all you have to do is whatever you carry with you in person. Some of us have pockets like that. There's Brother Ken. Just wave your hand, Brother Ken. Stand up and turn around. And he's our model today. Look at what is on his pocket. He's got something on his pocket. Show him. And that's a gospel tract. Okay? That's a practical way for us men that have shirts that have pockets on them. We can put them in there. Now, I don't do that personally. Like I said to you, it's a preference, okay? You can do it. It's just a practical way. I keep myself in the car, all right? And I grab a few when I have to go somewhere. Keep it nice. Keep it sharp, okay? Keep it smelling good, all right? Depends on where it falls in your car. Sometimes there's food all over it, and then you don't want to pass those out, okay? They're disgusting. Let's not do that. But let us be presentable. Okay, and so be ready in 21 days, maybe a purse that you carry all the time with you, and you just take one gospel tract, put it in there. Put it in there. Don't even have to pass it out yet, but just to be practical, okay, and do that in your life. The Bible talks many, many different verses, and we already kind of touched on a few of them last week. I'm going to finish it this week. I'm going to try to get out of here a little bit early. I know I've been promising you that. A lot of people come up to me already. You know, brother, when you say, I'm almost done. You have like 300 more verses that you're going to quote on us. You're not done. So I'm trying. I'm trying, guys. I'm really trying. When I'm used to preaching an hour and a half in the Philippines and they like it, it's hard, okay? So I'm going to try. Matthew chapter number 10 and verse number 5 to 7. You find verses in scripture that you might say, well, God doesn't love certain groups of people. Remember when Jesus came, he was showing a truth. In fact, they didn't know about him. They struggled. Even the people that was closest to him struggled. They struggled about a few parts of the gospel. Remember 1 Corinthians 15, you don't have to turn there. Try to find yourself in Matthew 10 here. Matthew 10, verse 5 to 7. They had a hard time with the third part of the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 15, it talks about it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The disciples, pastor preached on it during resurrection week. He talked about that the disciples had a hard time believing that Jesus would resurrect from the dead. And yet, that is where the power lies for us to be saved. Guys, we cannot be passed, as scripture tells us, from death unto life without the sacrifice being made alive again. If Jesus did not resurrect, there is no power in the message of salvation. There is no power. There is no life-changing power in salvation. You can tell everybody the blue in the face. Jesus died and was buried. But if he did not rise from the dead, that is the power of the resurrection. That is the power of salvation, because that is our hope. As he resurrected, we too, if we trust in him, if we die in Christ, guess what? We will be resurrected in the rapture. For sure, if you die before the rapture comes, you will be resurrected in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, and we'll meet Jesus up there in the air. So they had a hard time with that. So, well, I've been at church for 39 years, and I still don't understand everything. You're in good place. Come another 39 years. Because we'll never know everything about the scriptures. Okay, how many times have we been talked about evangelism? And what happens is we turn it off. We turn it off. In the Philippines, there's something I love about them. They never get tired of rice. They never do. They really never do. In fact, I want to make an illustration here. They feel like you can feed them so many different kinds of food. One time, Mrs. Lewis and my wife made some big breakfast. Bacon, eggs, toast, some even French toast, and then we did everything, the full shebang. This is what we eat if we wanted to be not lazy that morning and really make a good meal. And so all of us are chowing down, and by four different waffles, I'm done, guys. I'm done. I got a pound of bacon already inside of me before that. I am done. And the Filipinos are like, wow, 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 wow. And one guy goes, I'm like, man, you ate like 2 pounds. You got a lot in you, boy. And the guy goes, you know what? That was all good, American food. But, man, we still are hungry. And you know what they did, those Looney Tunes? They went over to the next door neighbor and asked, bought rice and ate it. And they were like, now I feel good. It's just the way they are. They like to eat rice. Now, those of us are coming here, we're learning to supplement some of that with bread, you know, just stuff it down us, because rice for them is a filler. So they really want rice. And as a Christian, let's use that in our life, that we don't ever get tired of simple truths. Don't get ever tired of simple truths. We've been talked about it for 39 years. Yes, we've got 39 years more to go to talk about it. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, man, if you're tired of it now, you're not going to last very long. We got lost people still need to hear this for the first time. And if we get tired and we look at it like, oh, it's just, how in the world are you going to be motivated to tell somebody about a story that you're tired of? Imagine this, you're just tired of the story, same fishing story over and over and over again. And you're going to go tell it to somebody. I don't think you're going to have the passion. I don't think you're going to have the zeal. I don't think you're going to have the excitement to tell the story. Don't ever get tired of Jesus Christ and what he has done on the cross. There's nothing better to do. The only reason you're here left in Ephesians 2, verse number 10, is the fact that we are now to express to the world what happened inside of us. Jesus came and saved our soul. That is an amazing story. You know, we're going to celebrate that for eternity. And I'm glad that God's going to change our attitude by then. But let us change our attitude now. Let us say, God, I need a new spirit inside of me. Create in me a new spirit. Create in me a passion. Create in me a desire to want to tell someone about Jesus Christ. Is it the hardest thing? I looked at my wife yesterday. All of those garage people. And our streets, too, that we were wanting to do. And I looked at my wife. You know what? We can find another street. Let's go there where there nobody's around. I just don't want to deal with this today. And my wife looked at me. I thought you don't have a problem with this. I'm the biggest chicken about doing this. I hate doing it, you know. And she goes, well, I always thought you liked doing this. I said, no, just because I like to talk doesn't mean I like to engage in this. And so we did go out. And the Lord was kind to us. And people were kind. People were kind to us. And people took the leaflet, and we bought a few things from them. Got a $2 shredder. All right, so that's good. It's going to go in my office. It was white once. It's yellow now. But that's okay. It's $2, man. It's got a vintage look. Look, Matthew chapter number 10 and verse number 5. Matthew 10 and verse number 5. My wife has an awesome testimony about her and Abigail. If Pastor would ask maybe tonight. Or maybe next week, I want her to say it herself. It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. And it just shows you how people are really hungry. And I want to destroy this warped mentality where people don't want to hear. They do want to hear. And they're waiting for us to tell them. There are people that are waiting to hear. Not all of them are against us. And not all of them are just... A lot of them are lost. They don't know better. And they're waiting for somebody to let them know. Okay? And I want to get that in you. Because, guys, the last few days, the last few times we've done it, we have had no bad reaction. I cannot lie to you. Most of the time we went out, it was always good. There's a few that was kind and say, no, we don't want it here. But for us and my family, we have never had that since we started. And my wife, my Abigail now has brought the smiley tracks, and she's taking it to Tops. She's taking it everywhere she's going now. And I'm looking at her like, man, I can't do what you're doing, but if you want to do that, don't let them know I'm your dad if there's a bad thing that happened. Tell them it's your mother. That's your mother. I'm going to run away from you, right? But Matthew 10 and verse number 5, quickly. Matthew 10 and verse number 5. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you asking for guidance. Help us to be passionate about you and what you've done for us. And help us to share it with those that are lost. They don't know better. But they're needing to hear about your salvation. In Jesus' name. Amen. Look at verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, this is his disciples, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city. I'm sorry, I'm reading you verse 5, right? Of the Samaritans, enter ye not. And you can stop it right there. Why would Jesus say something like that? Because this is story before now. Okay, we're in a timeline here, guys. And at this point, there's a reason why Jesus didn't want to say that. Because he was starting to fulfill prophecy of old time. He came to his own. He had to come to his own. And he is what? A Jew. He had to come to his own people. And look at verse number 6. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I'm so glad my Jesus cares for every single human being ever been born, ever will be born, and is alive today. He knew their response. They knew what he would have gotten. In fact, those same people that he came to ended up shouting at the crucifixion when he was in Pilate's hall, crucify him! The same people he came to and allotted the time and be born in Bethlehem, those same people that he told his disciples, go to those people first. Because I promised I would go to them first. Tell them about me. And he knew what their response would be. It was prophesied. He knew, and God is omniscient. He knows. He's no time limit on him. He knew what was going to happen. But yet he's made in a specific command to the disciples at this time in history, still go to these people. So may I say a suggestion to you? God doesn't care how they're going to react to us. He simply cares for them that we go and let them know one more time about Jesus Christ. I've heard it 1,000 times. Guess what? I'm going to give you 1,000 times in one today. You're going to know about Jesus. Never get old the story in your heart. If it gets old in your heart and you get callous and you get desensitized by the way they react to you, then what will happen is carelessness and you won't care no more. They're not going to listen anyways. Not all of them. You know, there's new people that live in Eden. Anything that's alive is moving all the time. Some of them leave the town. Some of them die off. Guess what? Their houses are for sale. Guess what happens? New people walk in. There's new families all around here. It's an old town, but there's new families. I've met them. There's new families out here living in Eden that I don't remember there before. There's families that we knew that used to come to church here. I was looking at the Hobbins house. They're not coming here anymore. It's a new family there for sure. I know. Correct? So we need to go tell them about Jesus Christ. And then Ephesians chapter number 3, moving down the history now. Ephesians chapter number 3, and you know Paul, he was the apostle to the Gentiles. Look at Ephesians chapter number 3, verse 6 to 10. Let me read it to you as you get there. I'll start. The Gentiles should be fellow heirs. If you're a Gentile today, you want to shout it out. You hear what he said? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. By the gospel. By the gospel. If you enjoy harmony today because your husband is saved and you're saved and you have harmony at home, you better blame the gospel for that. If you have good, godly friends today, and they take care of you, they literally pray for you when you need it, and you can call them at the drop of a hat when you need something because they're born again child of God, you can blame the gospel for that. If you have a family and your children are getting saved in a younger age, you can blame the gospel for that. You see how the gospel is so important? And that's why we should never get tired of it. You know what? Families can be united. Ruined, broken down families can be put back together. Dysfunctional can function again. Get the gospel in there. Get the gospel in there. Get the Holy Ghost in there. Get the Holy Ghost. Not more therapy. Not more medicine. Not more psychiatric help. Although some of those things can be used down the line. But get them Jesus Christ. Get them the gospel. The problem we have is not a political problem in America. The problem we have is a spiritual condition of the heart that we're walking away from the one we need the most. We're suffocating spiritually in this country. And we need to get back the oxygen tank if we have to. And we need to tell them it's Jesus. It's Jesus. Jesus, he's the one that can solve the problems of America. You can make policies, you can make all the declaration of anything you want. But when you don't have spiritual people, the policy and all of those things are just going to be for naught. The law was that way. The law is not none effect, but the law just shows people how wicked they are. And the Bible talks about the law then becomes a schoolmaster. And the law says, hey, I can't help you. I'm just showing you how bad you are. I know I'm a bad guy to you, but guess what? There's Jesus. He can help you fulfill me. Jesus. Point people to the Lord. And it says here, verse 7, whereof I was made a minister. Why was Paul in the ministry? So that everybody can, great job, Paul. So that he can make a name for himself. So that he can be celebrated, that comes with it, okay? Because of what we're doing today. We're celebrating his life, correct? But when he was doing it at the time, he had no idea Faith Bible Baptist Church would exist. He had no idea America would get saved. He had no idea. He was just doing what God wanted him to do at the time. He says, wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. I love America. This is a hard working place. Still is to this day. I know we're struggling. There's now hiring signs everywhere. I know we're struggling. And you're looking at the millennials. They're not what you were. The generation of hard workers. Not all of the millennials are not hard workers. Okay, a lot of them are. But we have stereotypes that go on. And things are being said. And we might say today that people are not as work. The work ethic is not as good as it was. Okay. But a lot of times we fall into this trap of if we work hard enough, things will happen. That sounds all good. But when it works of the gospel, there's a key phrase God uses here, according to the gift of grace. We miss that a lot of times as we minister, as we serve, because we're driven. We're driven by goals. We want to accomplish something. Americans are like amazing. Because you want, if you see something that is needed, and that's why we help all over the world. We help everything. We help the whales. We help everything. We help. There's Americans always involved when it comes to any kind of cause. There's fires in Australia. There's Americans there helping. It's just the way we are. Ukraine, there's ex-military men that came off being retired and went and are fighting. Americans. It's just the way we are. And that comes from because we are founded from the Word of God and we care for life. We value life, okay? So I love all of that, but then we fall into the trap of this. We do everything by our own strength and by own power. And I want to lightly caution us when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to seeing false people saved, Jesus says, I will bring the increase. I will save them. I will save them, guys. I need you to go out there and help me to spread the news, but I will save them. They're not going to get saved by our own efforts. They're going to get saved by the grace of God in our life. That's what Paul is saying here. In verse 8, unto me whom I am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given? You see how he's denoting himself? You know, saying that it's not about me, guys. He's denoting himself and saying, no, it's not about who I am personally. But look at what it says here. Unto me whom I am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of God. Of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. And what is that mystery? There is salvation in the God that created us in the first place, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Jesus promised already that there's salvation. And he says right here, Paul is saying that people don't know that. To them, it's a mystery. If you don't know something, you can say, it's a mystery to me. I don't know. Okay? And so the lost, it's a mystery to them, the way of salvation. But Christ came and died on the cross, set up his disciples. He met Paul on the road to Damascus. And Paul got saved. And now Paul is telling the Gentiles that there is no longer a mystery. There is Jesus Christ that can give you, what? Access to God. Verse 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. We are ambassadors, as Paul commended. We are ambassadors, and this is the embassy. We report to the embassy as we go out. We're in a foreign land. An embassy is in a foreign land of a foreign country. America has an embassy in the Philippines, right there in Rizal Boulevard. Okay, it's beautiful, right there in Manila Bay. Gorgeous, tin roof, green. Have you been there? Yeah, I've been there several times. When you walk in there, it feels like the air, you're in the United States. Well, the trash are picked up. The floors are mopped. It's shiny. It's just the way we are. And when you go in there, you feel like for a second, wow, I'm in the United States. The AC works. And everything seems to be understood. There's signs. And the instruction in the piece of application paper makes sense. You don't have to ask 300 people. What do you mean by this? You know? And as you do that, they represent in that foreign country America and its values and principles. And so we are pilgrims, we are citizens in heaven, and we are to be an ambassadors. And the Bible put there what? The church. The church has a part. Why? This is the sending agent. This is the authority that sends forth the gospel. God chose to do it that way. We sent a missionary out of a church. Justin came out of this church. We prayed over him. Remember that? Some of you guys that were here, I watched that. I wasn't here. But we prayed over him, and we sent him out to PNG the first time. Remember that? Remember you guys did that with me and my wife when we went out? The men were here. The ladies were somewhere over there. And you guys sent us out. And we reported to you because it's the sending agent. As we go out ministering to the gospel, as we go out door hangers, who we put down there? Chris Barron. Get to know Chris Barron. No, we're going out there and saying, get to know Faith Bible Baptist Church. But first of all, get to know our Jesus. Correct? Because this is the sending agent, as you notice there in that verses. Look at John 4, 34-38. John 4, 34-38. I'm going to read it quickly to you. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 3 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is the saying true. One soweth, another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labor. Pastor Cole labored as the pastor here for so many years, and you're going to see the transition next year. As I enter into this as the pastor, I was always a member. But as a pastor now, taking the place of our pastor, as the leader of the flock, as the changeover happens, guess what? I enter into the 30, 40 years of his labor. Right? And what a magnificent thing to do. But there's a lot of turbulent time, transition, because styles will change. Personality might even change. But that's what the verse is saying. So let us be ready to work together to get the job done. Okay? Look at 2 Corinthians 10, 4-6, and we'll be done. For the weapon of our warfare are not carnal. I was talking about, again, the flesh. We rely on the flesh when we're hard workers, when we're character driven. We tend to rely on our flesh because we get up early in the morning. We know to discipline ourselves. We eat the right food. We wake up the right time. We pray. And those are all good. I want those. I'm striving for myself to have discipline in my life. I want those. And I'm teaching my children to be disciplined, to be planners, to look at the future. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, and be wise about it and plan for the future to come. I have no problem with any of those. But the Bible talks about here, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted themselves against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. Listen, every single thought. Every thought. The Bible does not make mince with words. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. I faith last Sunday. Was it Sunday morning I preached about faith-based obedience? Guys, God has a will for you specifically. And God has a will for us corporately as a church. But then as a church, individual church here in faith, we have a specific will for God for us as a church corporately here. And then individually, you have to get to know that. The Bible says, don't be unwise, not understanding the will of God. The Bible talks about that in the verse in Scripture where we need to know what God wants for us. And look at what it says right here. And having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. God says, hey, we've been disobeying God so much. Let's be passionate about now obeying so we can revenge. We can never pay for our disobedience. That's not what it's saying. It's saying the tenacity is this. Hey, guys, we owe God so much. We can never repay him. So don't act like he's satisfied with our mundane mediocrity. He says, let's get better. Let's keep moving. Let's keep marching. Let's just keep going for God. Because we can never repay it. But he says, passionate about, hey, I disobeyed God here. Guess what? I'm gonna obey him. I'm going to obey him. I'm tired of disobeying him. I'm going to obey him. in my life, okay? Be ready at any time, spontaneous about soul winning, because there may be a person there at that point in your life. Wow, time just flew away from me. I lied again. Lord, forgive me for my sins. And Lord, pray that you bless us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Another challenge for you, in a restaurant, at Tim Hortons, somewhere you go, part of our lesson, give out a gospel tract to a person that is alive, breathing. Give it to them in any of those places as you're buying. All right, you're dismissed.